And that was Dermot Fleming reporting there from Moscow. Now from Russia to the United States and the idea, an idea that is taking place there, taking hold there rather. Wealthy investors rather than banks have started giving out loans to young people to help them to get a start in life. The deal they're offering, however, requires that the young people have to give the investors a slice of their income for up to 10 years in some cases, meaning that the more they earn, the more they have to pay back. The scheme is operated by a company called Pave, which was masterminded by Sal Lahoud, who joins me now. Sal, how did you come up with this idea?
I was taking a bit of a break and in my career, spending time with my father who was sick. And I started just speaking to a lot of people and thinking about sort of how young people started careers and started companies or art projects. And I had a friend who was actually looking for some money to go freelance from a more stable job, and was very worried and didn't want to borrow money, didn't want to sort of go more into debt, which he already had. And so my feeling was, I'm happy to invest in you. I'm not happy to, he asked me for a loan, and I was like, you know, a loan is between two friends might be weird, because if things go badly, I'm not really going to ask you for money back. And if things go well, I felt that I was taking a risk. So I said, I'd be willing to just invest in you. And if things go well, great. You know, you can, I share in that success. And if they don't, I don't want anything. And then I realized that that's actually a really positive way to do things. And it made sense because we both had exactly the same incentive. And that's what sort of drew me to start thinking bigger and whether this could grow into something like a business.
Who does it suit? Because it sounds to me like it might suit young people because they got lots of years ahead of them. Or who is it open to?
I mean, for now, legally we start with anyone over 18. We try to target people who are in the last year of college and above, just because of education. We want people to start knowing about the model and really for the model to seep into consciousness as a real alternative to student debt before we actually have people funding their education completely this way. We think this is a very viable way to do that in the first place because, you know, when you're young, you have... you have all your future ahead of you, you have ideas, you have energy, you have creativity, but what you don't have is resources. And the people who do have those resources are on the other side of the spectrum. They're people who have done well, have accumulated money, connections, experience, but don't have that hunger to go and build something crazy. So what we're trying to say is we bring those two sides together in a way that benefits both. And we think this option should be available to everyone on the long term.
Well, now, as you say, invest is what it's about. Now, if I'm an investor, I want a rate of return. How much am I getting back from these people, or how does that work?
So obviously, because this is based on earnings, so the agreement, the income share agreement, is I receive money and payments under that agreement are linked to my income. So it can be anything from 1, 2, 3, 4%, depends on sort of the individual case and how much money one's raising. And the way that's priced is based on a model. We have a professor at Yale, one of the main professors of economics in the country, labor economics, and our in-house data scientists build a model. And based on that, we will actually price these agreements so that on average, an investor is expected to make 7% return. And that's for many, many different reasons. So we've thought about it in an academic sort of way and then on a business and financial side, and we end up solving for that. Obviously, individually, every single person's going to have a different trajectory, but the model says, okay, for someone who goes to this college, works in this field, is this age, and lives in this state, for example, this is what an average earning curves would look like.
And would you let any investor get involved? Do you kind of vet the investors? Because some of them could be a little bit pushy. They might say, listen, I've invested in you now. I want you to take this particular job because I can actually open it up for you, a high income job. But you might have a different objective. Maybe you want to be an artist and do something completely different. How do you ensure that people don't get, I suppose, pushed along by the wrong type of investors?
So first of all, we're pretty obsessed with making sure there's nothing of that sort. So first of all, there's a legal stipulation in the agreement that you actually cannot interfere in any way, if not asked, in terms of helping someone on their way. You can't interfere in anything. And that's a legal point of the agreement. But also separately, I think it's more of a philosophical point. We actually don't necessarily see that backers care purely about the industries that are known to be the most profitable. I mean, people actually do want to invest in artists. They do want to invest in people doing social entrepreneurship. Actually, the first group we closed because we, I think a way to diversify your risk a little bit is to invest in a group of 10 young people who do the same thing, for example, or go to the same college or something that matters to you. And the first one we did was social entrepreneurship. And the next few groups we're doing will be, you know, for example, New York entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs, there's different things, New York creatives. And so we've seen that backers actually care about very different things. And I think the key point to note is that if you are an artist, obviously the terms will be different early on to whether if you're an engineer at Stanford, but that's okay. That's sort of how it works. And you will find people who want to invest in you because they care about what you do. They care about art, they care about music, they care about architecture. And we see a lot of that. And that's personally what excites me the most in terms of coming to work every morning, is that whatever industry you're in, we're actually showing that there are people who care about it and who actually will invest in you and feel good about it and help you on your way. And that's a great feeling.
Young people, are they enthusiastic about this concept, or are they a little bit wary because it is so new?
I mean, I think, as with everything, if people are too enthusiastic, you'd be, okay, wait a minute, you have to make sure you understand what it is. So I think this is not for everyone. This is for, you know, this is for some people. It's for some people who have, you know, who want to go and build something, who want to go into a career, entrepreneurs or creatives or social entrepreneurs or people that are not in the most stable careers. And I think those people tend to be very enthusiastic. And I think the reason they're very enthusiastic is that this model suits their risk tolerance, right? I think if you know that, you know, building something or taking a bit of a risk, you're going to wake up with $100,000 of debt, whatever happens, that makes you think twice. If you know that the agreement is one that you only pay when you do well, and that, you know, the worst case scenario for you is if you do amazingly well, you know, you're sharing a couple of percentage of that success, I think that's a much more palatable risk. And it's a risk that suits what they're trying to do. And I think that's the big problem. In general, you need to have, you know, funding instruments and support structures for venture, for entrepreneurship, for creativity that actually suit the paths people are following. And that's why I think we make sense for a lot of people.
Salahoud, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for having me.